know, so calm. And she said, I hate my voice. Like, she said, I wish I had a voice like you. You're like Pink or Melissa Etheridge. I was like, what?
Oh, you do have a bit of a nice rasp to you. That raspiness.
I don't hear that, but maybe.
Like, you know Alana Miles?
Yeah.
Like when I would get a cold, yeah. I would always be like, oh yes, I sound like Alana Miles. Like, I'm so sexy. It's like the best. My Alana Miles voice.
Nice. I like that. That's good.
You do have a great voice. Do you sing?
No. Hmm. It's on my list of fears I want to tackle. I have PTSS, post-traumatic singing syndrome.
Why?
Because I took voice lessons as a kid till I was like 12 or 13. And I was such a shy kid. It was agony. Absolute agony. And my mom made me do it. And I had to do it with this other girl. It was amazing. And I had just very mean singing instructors.
I have the coach for you.
And I want to do it because I love music. I love singing. My son sings. Is a beautiful voice. My daughter has a beautiful voice. And I'm just so afraid.
So I will share it with you, but okay. Sonia Reed is, she's actually a well woman, but okay. My son, who's 17, she's his vocal coach. Mm. She puts on performances with all her singers in the basement with her band. And she does, I think it's 2 performances a year. She is an amazing person. Like, I love that she is a role model for my son. Mm. So I will share with you later, okay. But definitely highly recommend her.
Okay. I need to do it.
She will make you feel so able. And she works with the neurological pathways. So she has a different way of coaching it that she's trained in.
I'm going to have some serious like decoding that's necessary. Yeah.
Well, that, I feel like that stuff in us, that developmental age traumas and how the people are coaches and our parents and our caregivers, that shapes us, and it is so hard to change that when we're growing.
Yeah.
And some of that stuff I've just accepted and thought, I guess that's just going to be part of my human personality. I'm not going to change those ones. Those quirks can stay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's true. There's just, the singing thing is, I mean, that would be massive if I could really do that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
No time like
that. That and, have my picture taken in a bathing suit, which I am doing that with the swim queen.
You are.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, Jackie.
I'm so glad you're doing that. When is that?
Well, it was supposed to be in July, and then it was the day that we had that massive smoke and 40 degrees.
No, thank you.
No. So she canceled it and rescheduled it for September 15th. So.
Oh, I wonder if she has spots.
She does.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'll check that out. Okay. So we have a few things we need to do after the
party. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Karen, so I would love, the way I like to do it is just have you just kind of introduce yourself, share a little bit of who you are. You can share what you do, what your offerings are, anything like that. And I guess we should talk about, also I should just mention, this is going to air in January. And our theme in January is all about values and how our values impact the way we behave, the decisions we make, how we run our businesses, our personal lives, you know, everything. And you're going to, and I wanted you to speak on this because I know that that is something that you really specialize in and think a lot about.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us who you are?
Okay. Well, my name is Karen Elliott. I'm a 52-year-old divorced woman. I've finally found herself after that many years. I am a mom. It's my most favorite and best accomplishment ever. I have 3 amazing, beautiful kids, a 26-year-old and twins that will be 25 by the time this airs. I'm a daughter, a sister, a friend, and I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm a business coach and consultant.
You have really nice, like really calming energy, but also like joyful or real, honest.
Well, I appreciate you saying that because it's not always been like that. I would say in the last, I kind of really started to figure out who I was, probably starting 10 years ago, realizing the part I was playing was not me. And I was trying to please everybody else, which I think a lot of people can relate to. So I started picking away at this, and really it was instigated by getting my first business mentor, who I thought I was hiring him for to help me run a business because I didn't know what I was doing. And really it was kind of picking away at the layers at who I was and allowing me to kind of figure that out in a organic way. So it really started then, and then really in the last 3 years, I've done a lot of work on myself to, you know, I got divorced, and then I exited and sold my shares in the company I started in 2004, went through COVID and a divorce at the same time. So a lot of things were happening, and I really had to figure out what I wanted. And then once I exited those things, especially the business, what happened, I did not expect. I just didn't know what to do. I knew what I was going to do, but I didn't know why or who I was or what I valued. And so I started to dig into that. I hired a coach to help me with that. And then I, you know, if we're talking about core values and my why and purpose, I did that with my old business. But at that time, it was like, oh, you know, create your core values, check, 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 put them in a binder and put it on a shelf and it collects dust, you know, and they weren't used. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is they weren't even me. And I'm trying to run a business and not have clear core values, what I've learned doesn't work.
Because sometimes I think, or what I've seen happen is people choose their values based on what they want to be. Or mm-hmm. what they think they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to run a business and it's not in alignment with who you are.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear more about what were those values in your business? Do you remember? And how did you know when you needed to leave it?
Gosh, now I'm... So I think they were like, we care, walk the talk. I can't even remember the other two. But like, yeah. What is that? I was like, what does that mean? How do I make decisions based on that? But I think you make a good point. We always look at what do we want to do? How are we going to do it? But why? You know, and it's really, you know, everybody knows the Golden Circle of Simon Sinek, which was the very first book I read, but clearly didn't sink in the first time. But without the clear why and the purpose, it's really hard to get alignment with and figure out what the core values are.
Do you feel that sometimes you have to go through it, though? You have to kind of start. Mm-hmm. That's why it's hard. You watch the Simon Sinek video and we're like, okay, I should know what my core values are right now. Mm-hmm. No, I actually have to live them for a while, feel it out. Is this right? Once you're familiar with values, if you've maybe done it a few times or you've ran your business trying to run in your values, this isn't working, something's not working, I'm going to re-look at them again, then it's easier. It gets easier, I think, all the time to really understand if that those are the right things and it is working, or what, once you have a problem, you can usually look back at your values and go, it's probably why I have a problem, not in not in alignment with my values. But I think to hear that you need to have, and we're not saying this, but sometimes it feels like you need to have it figured out before you start. And I think it's good to try to figure it out before you start, but sometimes it's kind of impossible to have it 100% clearly defined before you start. So I think even having a business like that, I mean, you did your best at the time with what you knew.
Yes. Yeah. And I would say I've learned through failure, which is how you grow. I'm a big proponent of failing. Failure is feedback. Feedback is knowledge, and knowledge is power. And I failed at the core values, 100%. I failed at my own core. I didn't even know what they were, you know, years ago. Well, nobody talked about core values at all. You kind of just did what you were told and what maybe what you were expected or what somebody else was doing versus what are my values? What are my unique abilities? You know, and I remember a point in university where I was standing at the top of the escalator in Place Real. And I was in a science degree and I was really enjoying psychology. And I had this fleeting thought, like, I think I should be a clinical psychologist. And had I known who I was and my values, I would have chosen that, but I didn't. I chose, not that I didn't enjoy being a physiotherapist, but I didn't love it.
Yeah, it's interesting when we get that knowledge and wisdom and it'll come into our, mm-hmm. and it's almost like that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And if we believe and trust ourselves and know to listen and hear that and explore that, whether or not you follow it. But I think it's hard when we're in our 20s.
Oh, we don't know anything in our 20s. I didn't know anything.
They're much more self-aware now.
Yes.
I totally think they are. Like mm-hmm. my kids are a lot more self-aware than I was mm-hmm. and emotionally intelligent too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure their kids will be even more so, which mm-hmm. is great. But yeah, it's really hard to know what you want at that age yeah. and who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent a lot of time talking with my children about that mm-hmm. just based on the mistakes that I made. And it's, yeah, I would agree. They're way more self-aware and they take their time and they think about things. And mm-hmm. And I think the biggest awakening around core values is you need to bring them to life.
Yeah.
What do they look like from a behavior perspective?
Yes.
What do they feel like? Because when they're authentically yours and you it just flows. It's not a fight. There's not a barrier. It doesn't feel awkward. It just, you know it, you're clear, you can see it, identify it. Therefore, you can make decisions using your core values, whether that's in a personal relationship, whether you're hiring, firing, or promoting in a business, when you're looking for the right who to bring on to your team, the core values come to life. And yeah. if you don't see them in the actions, then they need to go.
Yeah, I always say it as you need, if you can't live into them,
mm-hmm.
like, can you live this out in your business?
Mm-hmm.
Mine are freedom and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And freedom is the strongest one. And it comes into play all the time. And my partners, if I have a meeting with them and I'm talking to them about things that are bothering me in the company and they're not working for me, and Leanne will say to me, well, that's because it's in direct conflict with your value of freedom. It's really hard to run a business, well, in two ways. So it's great to be an entrepreneur if you value freedom, mm-hmm. but also you think about your business all the time as an entrepreneur. So you have to really love what it is mm-hmm. and you have to be okay with it being a part of your life if you still want to have freedom
mm-hmm.
because it's hard to separate yourself from it.
Yes.
So I think it can very quickly conflict mm-hmm. if you make a decision that doesn't align with your values.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to know first, and then I want to get into your core values and what you're doing now, but how did you know you needed to leave that business? And the reason I'm asking and pressing on it is because so many women are in that position,
mm-hmm.
and especially women in our 40s.
Mm-hmm. It was a moment. Well, I'll describe the scenario. I do a lot when they coached me, like I got coaching through Clinic Accelerator, and now I contract to them, which they help primarily clinic owners, physiotherapists, massage, chiro, that industry, all over North America. That was probably the first indicate when I got coaching, I saw the transformation. Like I was ready to sell the business for a cup of coffee. Like I was just done and I tried everything. And the transformation that I had when I got coaching was massive. And I remember during that coaching myself, I thought, man, if I ever get the opportunity, I want to help other entrepreneurs make this journey a little bit easier than it was for me, because it doesn't have to be that hard. And you can be an entrepreneur and a business owner and have freedom and a good life. You don't have to work yourself to the bone, have a heart attack, or have to sell the business because you're forced to. My whole why about starting my own business was to have freedom to be a mom, so I didn't have to ask for time off. I wanted to be at all their functions. So that was the first step. And then going through you know, kind of a divorce and growing myself. We were co-owners in the business, and things just, I just wasn't on the same page. And then I went to a conference that Clinic Accelerator puts on, these huge summits, and I did 4 talks on stage, which I'd never done before, and I actually didn't realize what I was actually doing until I got there. I realized, wait a minute, there's like 350 people here. I have to be on the stage. And I was like, almost, you know, panicked. But then I got on there and I just talked about things that I knew and that I loved and was passionate about. I had panelists, and it just was this massive moment in my life where I thought, I am meant for something bigger. I can help way more people being a coach and helping owners all over than staying in my business. And I knew at that moment, this is what I need to be doing.
I love
that. And it was a surreal, like, and I didn't know it until I kind of got back into my own business and, you know, was in the meeting rhythm and all that. I remember just sitting there and I'm done.
You knew.
I knew. And it was everything that I've made a big decision on. I have this moment where this, I'm done. And yeah, it's just this piece. I'm going to be okay, but I know that I need to do this. And that was it.
I relate to that so much. My body will tell me when it's a no, and it screams at me. But I talk to women too who actually do not know when their body's speaking to them. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that some of that for you comes from being in a world of physical, like as a physiotherapist, that you were in tune with your physical self?
I think so. And when I did practice, I did a lot of just, I treated with my eyes closed. Because I could just feel shifts in people when I would correct something and I would have my hands there. And so I did a lot with that. I didn't even know what I was doing, but it worked. And so I think being present with my patients in that way helped a lot, being in tune with how they were feeling, and something would be sticky or stiff. And where's that coming from? And kind of tapping into what else is going on. Oh, this happened. Oh, okay, because we all hold our tension in different parts of our body. So probably it has helped a lot. And I'm personal development, self-development junkie. So I've learned a lot through just different courses and books that I've read and learning to tap into that myself.
I mean, what a loss for your clients. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think of what a gift you were or are mm-hmm. still, but to those clients seeking that physical help. So mm-hmm. good for you for choosing yourself, because I'm sure that that must've went through your mind mm-hmm. that yeah. your clients, you'd be sending them off. But did you have people that you were able to trust to pass them off to?
Yeah, I did. And it was, it was at a point where one of us needed to run the business and one of us and my co-owner and ex-husband was far better and highly skilled as a physio, and he loved it. I didn't love it, but I also didn't know what I was doing. But I think that the choice for me to do it was better, because really I did just a lot of coaching without even knowing it.
Definitely.
And development. So yeah.
So I feel like to be able to close your eyes and treat someone, it just shows how much you trust yourself. Mm-hmm. And are in tune with the energy around you. Mm-hmm. And how does that play into your career now?
It's huge. I didn't even know I had that unique ability, but where it does come forward is when I'm coaching and I have the ability to really stay in it with somebody and really be present and curious. And I think that curiosity, which is interesting, because as a child, I was super curious. I was like, why is that? Why do you do that? Why are you doing that? And, you know, because.
Just driving everyone crazy.
but now I know, you know, one of my unique abilities and geniuses is wonder, yeah. which is curiosity. And so I'm able to just be really curious with people and sometimes ask the difficult questions or ask just one more question to get them to really find out what is the fear or the self-limiting belief or what they really want or don't want. So I think it has helped a lot.
It sounds amazing. Mm. Like, it sounds amazing. It really does. As someone who listens to a lot of women, like in, you know, for the last 6 years, whether in Circle or in Coffee and Connection, or just hundreds of women have come through that circle and told us their stories. And there's so much need for people who will see them and listen and set their own bias aside and let them figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you can't create a safe, 100% safe space. I get that. But it sounds like a very safe environment for people to step into mm-hmm. with you. Mm-hmm. So how do you start with someone? Like, if I'm to come and I don't know my values, like, who's coming to you and how do you start? Like, where do you start?
I mean, one of my probably most often used question is, what do you really want?
I love that. That is like...
And it's not what do you want. It's like, what do you really want?
What do you really want?
Yeah.
Like, not what do your kids want? What does your partner want? What does your clients want? What do you want? Mm-hmm. People don't know.
No. And it's... And so then... And I didn't really know. And then it was actually my brother who asked me the opposite. Well, what don't you want? Hmm.
What's that? What was that?
It was, I don't want to stay in the place that I'm at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And as Frankie would say, we have this one woman at the well, Frankie, she's so great. What is the next right thing to do mm-hmm. then?
Yeah. And then I think the other is, what will be different if you're not there? What will be different? So you need to identify... What will we do? Oh, I'll feel this way. What will you feel? So if, you know, I'll use the, if I'm sitting here with you 3 years from today, what will be different 3 years from today if you decide to do this?
Those are such great questions. Mm-hmm.
And lots of times when I ask that, it's actually feelings will come up. I will feel light. I'll be happy. I'll have freedom. All have joy, like those things start to come out. But to ask somebody what you really want, they just don't come out because they are so stuck in something that doesn't feel good.
That's so good. That must be so profound for people. Mm-hmm. Even just the first things they think of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we look at, I think, this big gap, like I'm here, but like I don't know what I want. Like, it's so scary. And there's big, we think it's this big gap. And we have to know exactly what it is we really want in order to do something about it.
Well, yeah, because people will say, well, you know, let's figure out what you want and then how to get there mm-hmm. and create. But you don't even know that. You know what you don't want. You know what's not working. Mm-hmm. Why not start with that? Mm-hmm. I love that.
And then the other, just asked this to a client the other day, like, what's at stake if you stay where you're at? And sometimes it's big. Sometimes it's health.
It's big.
Sometimes it's safety. Sometimes it's big things.
It's big. What will it cost you?
Yeah.
Is something we sometimes will say.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's at stake?
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the gap, people, this gap is where people get stuck. They think, how can I know what I want, but look at this massive gap. Well, let's work on one little gain. let's start with one step. And then it doesn't seem so scary.
Oh, you're so good at what you do. I can tell.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I feel like you've almost probably from working with people and learning and exploring and being curious created a bit of a system as to how you work with people. You bring people in. It's like, there's probably a flexibility there if people are different, but really people need the same things. They mm-hmm. might just be a little, maybe a different point in their journey. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the thing, I'm not in your weeds. I'm not in anybody's weeds. So I can just ask the questions. Mm-hmm. Right. So, cause I have a coach, cause I get in my own way and I get in my own weeds. So I have a coach that helps me with the clarity that I just can't get through. And sometimes it's a self-limiting belief that you need to dismantle and break down so that you can move forward. Sometimes we're told things. Who told you that? Well, this, this, and this. Okay. Is that true?
It's so good.
Yeah. So there's a lot of fear. Like, there's a lot of fear that limits all of us.
fear of, I think, like loss, like things I maybe want to lose, but I'm still scared of losing them.
Yeah.
And fear of, will I get what I want? Mm-hmm. You know, but what if I can't get that? Mm-hmm. You know, so that sort of thing too, it's so vulnerable because mm-hmm. I love you. Just did that cute little look that I know you can't see, but she did this cute little look like, so what if, you know, like, okay, so what? Like, let's go. Let's see, you know?
Well, and then you talk about, okay, well, yeah. let's plan okay. for that. Okay. So what yeah. if it doesn't, how yeah. are you going to repair it? What are you going to do? Like, what would you learn?
And being prepared does remove a lot of that fear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exploring those things that you're really scared to explore, and you really do need someone to help you sometimes. Mm-hmm. Some people can do it on their own. I can't. I yeah. lean on people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we always go, what if it does? Well, what if it does?
What if it works?
What if it does work?
Yeah. Yeah. I often think too that it's hard sometimes for me personally to celebrate the little successes mm-hmm. along the way. Mm-hmm. Like, I want the big thing. And I'm impatient. Mm-hmm. And how do I, you know, celebrate those little things? Do you have people talk about that? Like,
yeah. And a lot of it is, okay, well, if I just get this, then I'll be happy. If I just do this, then I'll be happy. And it's always looking at this thing. But really, the joy and the growth is in the gains mm-hmm. and the wins. The wins that I have today and the wins that I've put my intention on to have tomorrow. And it's, you know, if I look at, you know, I still like look at, then I think, well, let's look down the mountain.
Yeah. Let's look back see, for a second.
Yeah. Cause sometimes yeah. I get, you know, like it's not really where I thought I'd be, but look at the gains that I've made. So we look at up the mountain and, oh, I haven't got there yet. I haven't got there yet. Well, look down the mountain, look at all the progress. Cause that's the growth is in the progress. Mm-hmm. But if we always just focus on the outcome and the thing at the top of the mountain, you're not going to enjoy any of it.
Yeah. 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 It's those little gains and wins. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's shift a bit into values. So if mm-hmm. someone's, when do you sort of start the conversation around values and how do you do that?
I tend to start it really early because it does direct them in decision-making. So we spend a lot of the business owners that I coach with Clinic Accelerator, we've spent a ton of time on core values. So it starts early, but now we actually bring them to life. We bring them into recruiting. We bring them into the interview process. We bring them into the firing process. We bring them into patient care, all of those things. And now it becomes this living thing in the business. And then making decisions becomes much easier because yeah. if it's not in alignment with the core values, then it doesn't fit. The business idea doesn't align with the core values, then we say no. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's like a roadmap.
Yes.
In a sense, it yeah. kind of, you have the boundaries on it.
Yes.
So what would be a question you would ask when someone's trying to figure out their values? Mm-hmm. Or what would be some of the common things that people get blocked on when they're trying to figure out what they are?
That's a great question. I tend to now start with, what is your purpose? What is your why? Because if you can determine what your why is and you have clarity on that, then I'll give people, you know, an exercise where there's a whole bunch of listed core values. Because when someone asks me, I don't even know what they are. Like, I could not even name any of them. I was so numb and so empty that I had to have a cheat sheet and list them all. But then at least you can pull out, say, 10. So of those 10, which is one that really pops first. Okay, now out of the 9, what's the next one? And what you'll start to see is there's lots of them are the same. So like one of my big ones is clarity. Like I need clarity. And so in clarity becomes communication, which is very important to me. It also, you know, becomes understanding. It also being seen, being heard. All those things are big core values for me, but they really fall under clarity. And when I have clarity, easy, I can make a decision.
I think that's so great to explain to, because yeah, often I'll see people pick a lot and I'm going, oh, these three are kind of the same. Can you pick one and we'll house them under that mm-hmm, one mm-hmm. when we've done values work within the well
yeah.
with the different women. So I do really think that's great, because then for people who have kind of overwhelm or hard time making a decision,
yeah.
it doesn't mean that those aren't still your values. They're just living under this main value.
Yeah. So then you just kind of will. I'm kind of like three or four tops. Totally. That's it. Anything more than that, you're not going to remember them all. Plus, if you're a business owner and you want your team to remember, no one's remembering 12 core values. No. No one.
No.
So less, four or less, that's it.
Yeah. Maybe. It's like friends.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, a great number, yeah, for like close friendships.
That's right.
It's all, yeah, I can handle. It's all I can remember.
Yes. So that's kind of what I do. And then you just whittle it down. That's the process I went to.
Yeah,
and, but it's, that. I started with, what is my purpose? And then I went to the core values. Yeah.
And I mean, your purpose to me, and correct me, but it feels a lot like helping people find clarity.
Yeah. I mean, I will read it to you. Mm-hmm. It's really that I believe success happens when things are clear and understandable. Mm. And how I do that is by seeking depth, breadth, and details. And what I do is I ultimately bring a better way to move forward.
Mm.
So that's my kind of why, how, and what.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. So people, yeah, work with you on these three things.
Yeah.
When they're, yeah.
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 And my core values are clarity, empowerment, authenticity, and growth mindset.
Oh, yeah.
And this morning I was preparing for this, you know, when I look at clarity, it's a direct correlation to purpose and vision. Mm-hmm. And empowerment is really giving entrepreneurs and people the tools that they need to go more on the offense and not react to things and not be on the defense.
That's a big deal.
And then authenticity is a huge one for me because I think I've struggled my whole life, mm-hmm, until... well, 50, honestly, mm-hmm, where I really figured out who I was. And then I could just show up as my authentic self, and I will not sacrifice that. And the other one that was key for me when I was choosing them was vulnerability. Well, mm-hmm, vulnerability goes in with authenticity,
yeah,
big time. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one for me. And if I can't be authentic with somebody, then I can't have them in my life.
Which I love when you talk about hiring, fire, like, why are we letting you go? Why are we hiring you?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have those four.
Yeah. And then my last one is growth mindset, which is massive. I'm like, I want to grow until the day I die.
And it's interesting too, because we lack that self-awareness in our younger years,
mm-hmm,
when we're picking partners. So it's really interesting to think about how that plays into,
mm-hmm,
and why, as I call it, the mat, and I don't say this in a negative way, I say this in a totally positive way, the mass exodus of women in marriage.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's, my husband and I talk a lot about it. You know, it comes because if we have an argument, it's like the conversation will come up. You know, he knows a lot of my friends are, mm-hmm, and I'm like, well, they're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're doing a lot of work on themselves. And they're not seeing that same growth mindset in their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband and I have a lot of conversations about that. And especially with the work I do, you need to see movement,
mm-hmm,
in people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's a value, especially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I haven't met a woman recently in my circles that it's not something really important to them.
Yeah. And I think the crux of it is, that's where I think the self-awareness comes in. Even just be self-aware enough to say, these are my strengths, these are my weaknesses. Like, great. You know, and to me, self-awareness is the number one attribute of a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
Being self-aware of your own internal strengths and abilities and your weaknesses, as well as the people who work with you.
Yeah. And selecting that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you really love about yourself?
Oh.
Which I feel like comes in line with self-awareness, yeah, right? Like,
it does.
There's, yeah, what do you love about Karen?
I love that I am a good communicator, and I will credit my mom to learning how to be a great listener. She was my first example of a great listener, and I have that attribute.
Mm.
And I think I can show up for people in that way and be curious. I'm a very curious person, and I want to know how people feel, how they think. Even if it's different than me, then we can have a conversation. I'm a very empathetic and compassionate person, and I'm bold and I'm strong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm resilient because of the things I've gone through mm-hmm. that have made me who I am. And I think I'm a beautiful woman. Mm.
You are all those things.
So, which
oh
is,
my goodness.
I've worked hard to be able to say those things. But yeah.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Now I feel like crying.
It's taken me a long time to be able to comfortably, and it's still uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but I can now say it. Yeah.
Do you find you're surrounded more now that you feel more self-aware, like since 50, you said, but even like 42 to 52, do you feel like you started to adjust the people who were around you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like friends and yeah.
relationships. And again, I think that's why the core values and your why it expands. It's not just business related, it's relationships. Mm-hmm. And I was huge in my business. I was about the people mm-hmm. and I was about really helping those people in the business to be the best versions of themselves and to create a team of a whole bunch of leaders. I didn't care about the title. I just wanted people to really love what they were doing and be a great leader, which would translate into your personal life. Because that was my experience and that was my transformation. Mm. So I really focused on the people.
Yeah.
And I still do.
Yeah, it's all about relationships.
Yes.
It's all about relationships.
Yeah. And if they don't tick the box on, then I can't be in that relationship.
Yeah. And then that's easy.
And
I mean, it's not easy.
But I'm still working on that.
The clarity can come. I think if we can understand why ourselves, mm-hmm. then we can start moving towards it. Mm-hmm. But if we're not even sure why, and we don't know how to even explain it to ourselves, yeah. then we can't really move forward on that
yeah.
boundary or that decision.
Yeah. And I still, you know, make decisions and forget to look at my core values. Because sometimes, you know, I get lonely.
Yeah.
And I want companionship. Mm-hmm. But is that companionship checking the boxes?
Yeah.
So I still work on that. But I think that's the other thing is you need to revisit your core values. Mm-hmm. Is this still true for me?
Yeah.
You know?
Because that's actually interesting. As we're talking, I remembered that we had that big coffee connection in May, I think it was, or April. And I realized in that moment when I was speaking, I didn't think of it before that, but I realized that it was actually relationships mm-hmm. more than family. So, of course, my family falls into that. Mm-hmm. But I forgot that mm-hmm. until now when mm-hmm. we're talking about it. I'm like, mm-hmm. right, that was that clarification I had while I was speaking. It mm-hmm. I wasn't sitting down working on my values. It was like a moment that came to me. During an event.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's it.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's 6 years in of running the well and not really realizing that it's actually for me, it's all about the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So the leadership, the courage, the vulnerability, the mental health,
mm-hmm.
those all are actually, ultimately, it's about the relationship with the people.
Mm-hmm. And I think those relationships provide us an ability to connect. Mm-hmm. with people that have they don't have to be the same values, but have values, and then learn about those values, and then you can collaborate.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, but it starts with the relationship.
So how have boundaries played into sort of protecting that, those values, yourself, like your self-awareness, your mm-hmm. values?
Mm-hmm. I think they've allowed me to create boundaries around certain relationships. I mean, I can decide to say yes to something or no to something. If it doesn't align with who I am and my values, I have no problem saying no.
Yeah.
So that's gotten a lot easier for sure.
Yeah, I think having that structure, this is where I always feel like, because I work with a lot of creative women in photography or in the creative careers, and structure is something we really don't like,
mm-hmm.
but structure allows for freedom.
Yes.
So I talk with them lots about the structure is just it's just the container
mm-hmm.
where you can play around.
Yeah. And I think that core values falls into that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be this, like, you know, time structured every 15 minutes of your day. Some people like that. That's great. I like to have a schedule and I like a little bit of that. But at the end of it, though, the structure is in your core values. If that's all you had as a structure and you live by those things and you had it on your post-it board or whiteboard or whatever, you could look at it and say, you know, I don't think that contract kind of really aligns with my values are. I'm going to have to say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when I started my business, it was, I would say yes to everything.
Sure.
Like, shoot the cannon and I'll get it. I'll take it all.
Paycheck.
Right. Because like, you need to live. Right. But as time went on, that was not the best decision.
Yeah.
Same thing with hire. I mean, sometimes you're hiring because you need a heartbeat and a pulse, but never works out.
Yeah. Ever. And then quick to fire. Right. Yeah. I always think of Gary Vee, quick to fire.
Yes. Yes.
if it's not working, end it. Like, get rid of it.
No.
Like, do it well. Do it in alignment with your values.
Yeah.
But do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Don't be afraid to do it. But I love the idea of writing them down, visually having them in front of you. I think for some people, they really need that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, they kind of live in me and my body tells me when I'm out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good that they both exist.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you need to have a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And I think for me, having them written and seeing them is helpful for when my body is, when I'm confused or overwhelmed by my feelings.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great, like, if you're not sure, write them down and then give an example of a behavior that exemplifies that.
Yeah. Can we talk about that for a little bit? I like that.
Mm-hmm.
What would be some examples of that you've had from either yourself or clients or?
Well, I think let's talk about empowerment, because I think one of the big motivators right now, A, is money, but it's also autonomy.
Yes.
And so if you're talking empowerment and that's one of your core values, then you need to look at autonomy, right? So you need to empower people to make their own decisions. They may need help with that, but for example, what would not be in alignment would be micromanaging.
Yes.
Right. Would be constantly checking in.
Mm-hmm.
Would be, so for example, you go on vacation, but then you're emailing to check on things.
Right.
That's not empowering your team and your leaders to make decisions, problem solve themselves. And it's also not telling your team that you trust them.
Same can be applied to your family, your kids.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I really like that. And that is interesting too, because I always think with my value of freedom, it's really a lot about autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love empowering people to do things, but mm-hmm. I can go to the other extreme where I don't give enough direction.
Right.
And that, because I'm very independent and problem solver, and I forget that. So I've learned in leadership that everyone's different and people need different things.
Mm-hmm.
So learning how to do that for you, the people that you bring on.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, like, autonomy is, I feel like, and that has been coming up in conversations and mm-hmm. circles I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is what people are wanting right now more than ever.
Yeah. And there's actually the coach that I work with, she does a lot with culture and core values. And there's a tool, I think, called Growth RX that surveys people to figure out what are your key motivators. And there's 7 kind of key motivators. And it's a tool out of Australia. And the most recent statistics on are the top 2 are money and autonomy. But a few years ago, it was service, I think, and recognition.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is the industry of physical therapy, but I would argue it's the same across most industries right now.
Yeah, I would think so too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's partially because of what we're going through in the world and the economy.
Yeah.
But then also because of the generations coming up.
Yeah. And I think it really, I think it challenges our leaders
because
you have to, I'll go back to clarity. You have to be really clear on what is it, the outcome that you're wanting, first of all, and then who do I need in this role, not the how, because let them figure out the how.
Exactly.
Get the right who, get clarity on the outcome and the expectations, let them figure out the how.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I feel like I just have the most amazing team at the Well.
Mm.
These 5 women, like me, so it's me, there's the co-owners, and then my two women who contract, who work for the well. And we have such an incredible team, but it's taken years, 5 years to get there, to understand what we really needed, what I needed. And because of, I'm a visionary, that's a, you need certain people around you, mm-hmm. very grounding people, but also people who allow you your freedom and autonomy and decision making. Mm-hmm. Like realizing those things about yourself and the self-awareness and the values, and then you know who to bring around you. It's amazing. It's so satisfying,
yes.
to be with those people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can probably feel the flow,
oh.
and just things get done and it's easy. There's not this kind of constant battle. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite tools that I use now, and I got certified as a facilitator in this, is the 6 Types of Working Genius, which is mm-hmm. by Patrick Lencioni. He's written, I don't know how many books, but the 5 Dysfunctions of Team is probably the most well-known one. But this 6 Working Genius is really tapping into, because we have, there's 6 of them. Everybody has all 6. But you have 2 that are your geniuses, you have 2 that are your absolute frustrations, and that you have 2 that are your competencies that you can do for a bit. But if you have to work all the time in your frustrations, your energy is zip. There's no joy, there's no energy, nothing. So then knowing that and building a team that complements each other, depending on the type of work that needs to be done, you can take the work through the, you know, 3 phases of work productivity, and everybody's working in their area of unique abilities and strengths.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I love that. Yeah. And we'll definitely include these, all these resources. You've mentioned a lot of really great ones in the show notes for mm-hmm. sure. So mm-hmm. people can access them and access you mm-hmm. and find you. And thank you so much. Oh,
this is amazing. I feel like we could just talk all day.
I could not. I could keep it going, but we're trying to keep them to 45
yes,
minutes.
Yes.
For our listeners. Yeah, but I like love, I listen to like the 2-hour podcasts. Like
yeah.
I love podcasts.
Me too.
So I
me
mean,
too.
Maybe next season will be, we'll extend them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thanks so
this
much.
This is amazing.
For
thank you for having
oh
me.
My goodness.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my kitchen.
Oh, this
no
is so...
studio, no professional studio here.
It's great. It's just a conversation.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thanks, Karen.
Thank you so much.